Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, Coach. Welcome to the podcast today. Before we jump in, I would like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Those machines are sturdy. They will not break down. They were like my old Explorer. They would run. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's your one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's unlike anything out there. You know, you can join all these other courses, but I'm guarantee you don't get their cell phone number. You don't get one-on-one calls. You don't get, you know, hey, Tuesday, I need to call with you. That's what makes teachhoops.com different. We have everything you need to become a better basketball coach. Doesn't matter if you're youth, doesn't matter if you're high school, doesn't matter if you're college. We're here to help. We're here to mentor you through this great journey we call coaching. All right, let's head off to the podcast. It's hard because I'm limiting. It's like picking your favorite child.
Yeah, because there's so much. When I'm thinking about concepts, about way to teach it, I think the second thing that I'm going to do is we're going to post everyone up. So we're going to go all in.
Okay.
Posting everyone up.
Okay.
We're going to hammer it with our guards, hammer it with our bigs, and everyone's going to be a threat because one thing we want to do and do well is we want to raise the level of our role players so that the defense can't focus on your best player. Okay, the same philosophy that the Bulls use with Jordan and the triangle offense. Hey, listen, if we don't do something different, everyone's going to go Jordan rules, Detroit Pistons on you. They're going to send everyone at you, and our other players won't. So they put in a triangle, say, listen, we need to raise the level of everyone else's game so they can't focus on you solely. It's the same thing with the Prince, and that's how we sell it to our to our role players, which our role players aren't hard to sell. Sometimes it's hard to sell to your best player.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, I want the ball in my hands all the time. Well, on that scouting report, it's going to say, hey, we take him away, and if you play a team that's more athletic or they got a stopper and they can stop you, or they're going to take you out of the game, make everyone else beat you, and now you don't have a flow or a style of way to play.
Right. Okay. Anything else? Any other – if you had to pick one more. I know. I'm putting you on the spot.
No, you're fine. Yeah. So we let's see.
I'm just trying to think big concepts for what shots let me change a little bit. What shots do you get in the Princeton offense?
Okay, so here's we took the swing offense to begin, you know, very popular 80s, 90s. Hey, swing the ball, because they want to get the defense to move left, get the defense to move right, and then when they're off balance, you drive and go by them. Yep. So Princeton is very similar, but we also focus on to the rim, away from the rim. So if we're running chin, we throw that two pass reversal, we're shifting the defense all the way to the left side of the floor.
Right.
Then when we come off the shuffle and we're setting up the drift, we're taking the defense as close to the rim as possible.
Okay.
So when we're coming off the drift, now basically what happens is we corner, you know, four of those five defenders inside like a 15-foot radius. Now when we're coming off the drift, we like to suck the defense in, especially if the defense is better than us. We want to suck them in. So when we pull them out, we want them coming at us, because when they're coming at us, now we can wait for them to be off balance, and while they're stepping forward, we can drive by them.
Okay.
So we want to manipulate the defense left, right, and then to the baseline, and then away from the baseline.
Okay.
Within the offense. So we're shifting the defense four different ways, and we're trying to get them off balance left, right, but also to the rim. So if we're knocking down threes, they're going to come at us more. Now we're going to start driving and trying to go backdoor more often.
What is your shot? So does your shot chart look like close to the rim and threes?
Not at the high school level. Not okay. As much. I know when you're watching a college team run it, or when you're watching the pros, it's because Princeton's philosophy is, hey, we want wide open threes and layups. They're one of the first programs or philosophies to say, hey, we want threes and layups, and that's how we're gonna beat you.
Right.
And you see that a lot with them. But I think at the high school level, we'll get shots wherever we can on the floor. We get a lot of wonderful pull ups. I like getting layups, drives and backdoor layups, and then layups through the post, whether with your guards or your bigs. And we like wide open threes and wonderful pull-ups, and we don't get more fancy than that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that mid-range shot is a lost art. I've said that a million times on the podcast. But it's open.
And if you're teaching high school players, you see a lot of I think a lot of the training is great where they're doing – multiple cross, you know, scissor cross, and they're in and out, they're hesitant, then they're hopping back, and then they're going. That's great, but you never get that on a 5-on-5 game, especially high school, where the game is just a little more compact.
It's compact, and it's basically all you need in high school is a move and a counter move.
Exactly.
You need a move and a counter move. That's it.
And what Princeton does is it, if you have those players who can't score on their own, can't create their own shot, the system's going to do that for you. So if I'm coming off of a drift, I'm open. And if I'm not open, if the kid's closing out on me, well, he's off balance. Well, I'm going around him. I got a wonderful pull up or a drive for a layup. We tell our best players, this is one way we sell our best players. Listen, you're going to use the offense too. It's going to help you as well. But you also have the ability to create your own shot. So you can learn the offense and then learn where you can deviate from the offense to get your own.
Right. I mean, So what do you think? What's the hardest thing to teach in the Princeton offense?
I think the hardest thing is, so if you're a young coach or if you're doing it for the first time, is seeing the big picture. Again, it's that whole thing. If you don't know, you need to know the core four sets.
Right.
And then you need to pick the one or two or three that you want to run.
Okay.
And learn how to put them together. And once you can, and you don't do too much. If you try to do too much, especially year one, okay, you're going to swallow your kids up. They're going to get confused. They're not going to be able to execute on the
floor. No, you're going to last about 2 weeks, and then you're going to chuck it, because it's like – you got to simplify. Yeah. Like I've got the read and react. If you know anything about the read and react, I've got that down to five things. Basically, this is the five things we need to do.
Yeah.
That you got to simplify it down. And then you could, if they get good at those five, then you can always add.
Yes.
I think that's the problem. I think everyone tries to do too much.
Yeah.
And simplify. I agree.
Once you get to year two or year three or year four, and you have your system, man, you know, we'll adjust low post from 1 year to the next depending on talent or depending on
right, and it will also depend if you're doing it system wide for the young coaches, and if you're like, you know, maybe your varsity coach is doing it and you're doing it at the lower level, then that's fine, but it's going to take a while for that to get in. Is there one failure that we could dive into that you've had running this thing?
Yeah, so I think my first year I was headstrong, saying I'm running it the way I watch Air Force run it, because it's beautiful basketball. That's how I want to run it. I could have been more I could have been less headstrong and say, hey, see, I know what I want, but I realized maybe this would be better. And I think for me, I didn't see the big picture well enough to match it well enough with my players. I had a forward that was excellent in the post. I didn't put him in the post enough. And I had a five that was a 6'6", 6'7", 5, and then I played on the perimeter too much. So I did get inside my head. I was like, I'm going for it. My first year as a head coach. And we tried to do things that might not have matched our personnel the best. And as partially my fault of being headstrong, The second mistake was me not having enough experience with the offense.
Well, that's the problem. It's like it's like the only way you get experience is what we were talking about before is you got to teach the team. You got to learn it.
Yeah. So year two, year three, I figured that out. I was like, okay, I know why I messed up. And then we didn't make
that's
mistake.
Why all the ADs that are listening, you better give the young coaches a chance before you fire their butts.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they got to learn. They got to learn that they got to actually call the parent.
That bothers me too because, okay, your coach made a mistake. Hmm? What kind of mistake was it? Is he a good kid, a good coach? Right. They're not going to make that mistake again.
No. And if they do, then that's when you let
them
go.
And if they do, that's when you say, okay, you're not learning. You're not improving. Right.
You don't have that growth mindset. Is there a defense that correlates with this offense?
Yeah. So I played in and then coached in that Duke, Coach K, old Dick Bennett, on the line, up the line, deny pressure.
Back line, baby. It won Virginia a national title, baby.
Well, now it's pack line. So old school Dick Bennett was on the line, up the line, deny. And then they went to this pack line. I like pack line a lot. My last year as a head coach, I actually put in the matchup zone that Princeton teams run. Okay. And my players love it. I actually tried because you kind of mold that to the way that you already teach your man-to-man. So one thing we did defensively is we deny the post on the low side.
Okay.
Three-quarter on the low side. And we play great midline defense. If we're good at one thing, we play great help side.
Okay.
And it's awkward and you get kind of scared, but what happens is teams are trying to force the ball over the middle. That post player can't see those help side defenders. And we got so many turnovers and steals. So it actually took the pack line, made it more opportunistic for turnovers. But I tried putting it at the beginning of the year, and it was the first time I've ever tried it, and I just couldn't grasp how I wanted to do it, so we went away from it. And then the last this is the year we only returned one varsity player, period. I think we won 10 or 11 games that year.
Okay.
But we put it in for the second half of the season, and I figured out I put in the same way that I put in the offense. I put in, well, let's do this first. If they do this, let's do that. If they do this, let's do that. And we built the defense that way.
Okay.
We kind of troubleshoot as we went. We ended up winning like 7 out of the last 9 games of the year with that defense.
So you like the matchup.
I used to be Tom Izzo. Hey, tough it up and get through that screen. We're not switching anything. I used to have that mentality, and then we started doing it. I'm like, you know what? It's kind of really frees our players up. And actually, our defense talked better in the matchup than we ever did in man to man. Because they knew if they didn't, it wouldn't work. And they could see it right away.
I tell people, if I was picking a basketball team, they would in high school, they would all be 6'4". They would all have a long wingspan. They'd all be able to shoot. They'd all be able to defend. But guess what? That's not reality.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that's why I got to – I mean, I would love to play man the entire game. I would love to do what Tony does at Virginia. I'd love to do that. I would if I could.
Yeah, it's just that philosophy of fighting the opponent's strengths. Why fight their strength? If they've got better guards and they're good at getting off ball screens, why try to fight through that? Just switch it. I am perfectly fine with my 5'10 guard on a 6'6 kid in the post. We just turn – we don't put our butt on them. We turn around. We full front. We just send another help side. They're not going
to
try.
I'm telling you, for the young coaches, if you full front, there are very few kids in high school that can make a lob pass or pin and then reverse and pin. Trust me, I've watched thousands of games. It doesn't happen.
So I when I moved on from my head coaching job as an assistant, it's kind of neat. The next 2 years, I worked with a couple different coaches. It's kind of neat to see their philosophy. And one coach would say, listen, he would tell his players, listen, high school players just aren't that good. So we're talking about, dude, just wall up. Just stand there. If he scores over you, great. He's going to miss that 7 out of 8 out of 10 times.
Right.
Okay, so just play good, solid D. Let them make mistakes. You don't have to do too much, you know, at the high school level, depending on what level you're at.
But, right, and it's like, well, I've had guys, they'd score every time. But, well, yeah, one of them's going to Duke in our league. So that's how good some of the guys are. You let him score in the post. You can't.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So that's a whole different level. But the issue is sometimes I think, especially in the post D, is you just don't want to give him the same look either. So that's what I tell my – like, if you're side front, don't side front next time. Maybe front. Yeah. Maybe, like, just give them a different look. It will throw them off enough.
You know the best defense is when we're running our defense, when it's clicking, and I've got kids that understand the game, is we don't want to full out deny. but we don't want a full out pack line either.
Right.
We want to be in that, are you open, are you not open zone? So what we do offensively, I'll tell my point guard, hey, he's either open or not open. And they'll say, well, coach, what if he's not sagging, or he's not, what if he's kind of, I was like, if you're not sure, he's not open.
And we take right. And if you hear anybody yell, pass the ball to the post, don't pass it.
No.
They're not open now. By the time that works,
we take that decision out of their hands. And we actually turn the ball over less because they're not forcing stuff. If you're not sure, if you have any doubt, he's not open, go to the next thing.
My college coach would not let me make any guard make a pass to the post that wasn't a bounce pass.
Yeah.
He wouldn't. I mean, and there's some theory to that. It's like,
so
it's not as airborne as long. It's interesting.
Yeah, so I'm a little different. So I want to throw the ball into the post, guard or big, over top every time. And our way of thinking is if you have if the post is playing behind you and you try to wrap around pass, it's a little slower, and a quicker defender can step back, reach around, get a piece of that. Now, from an officiating standpoint, if you're underneath the offensive player's arm and you're getting a piece of that, they're not going to call that very often. But if you're a post player and your hands are out in front of you and the ball is coming to your hands and the kid comes over your shoulder, they're going to call that 9 out of 10 times.
Right. Yeah.
Plus we like throwing it to six. We don't want 6'6" bending down to his knees to pick up.
Right. It's the 6'6". It's the accountant that's been working all day is going to call it because he needs to go home and have dinner. Yeah. I know. Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. They allow us to keep these podcasts moving and chugging and allow us to pay the bills. So it's one way that you can give back. If you love these podcasts, come over and join for a couple of months. The 14-day free trial, kick the tires around. And we've got lots of great new things going up on a daily basis. We would love if you subscribe and like wherever you do that, Apple, Spotify. And then go over and check out our other two podcasts, High School Hoops and Teacher Sidegate. I think you'll love them. All right, let's head back to the podcast.
Learned something.
All right, so here's any other things with Princeton that you'd like to share before we go on to a couple other questions I have?
But yeah, like I said, anyone can run. If you're the kind of coach that is if you're a skill development coach, if you got Jim Rantz, it's an underdog's offense. It's an offense that evens the playing field. That's what it was designed to do. But don't get caught up in, well, I can't run it because this is my personnel, okay? Or I can't run it because I don't have a big. You can run it with nearly any personnel. You just have to commit to it or just take a piece of it or a piece of it here, a piece of it here. And anyone can put in the offense. And it works for, again, it works for the underdog. It evens a playing field. But if you have players that can really get up and down and play, you can run it like Georgetown did with John Thompson III. You can run it like Richmond does with Chris Mooney. And you can tighten the playbook and give your players more freedom. But it works for anyone. Any coach and any player can. What I say is it's anyone can run it, but it might not be for everyone. So if you're a skill development coach, if you're an underdog coach, this is definitely an offense that can help you even the playing field.
Oh, I love that. Okay. All right. So we're going to do rapid fire, and then we'll come back and talk about the playbook and stuff. All right. So rapid fire is me asking a question, and you just giving me –
okay.
A quick answer. Sure. So what's your favorite brand of basketball, the actual ball you play with?
Oh, okay. So it because it stuck in my head when I was in high school, I actually had Coach get me one. And it wasn't the same ones that we had on the floor. And I said, well, Coach, I want that one. He's like, well, this is the one you got. It was a Baden.
Okay. You like that. Yeah. Baden's getting more votes recently. What's one word to describe your ideal player?
Versatile.
Okay. If you could go to one sporting event in the world, what would you go to and why?
I would say I'm going to time travel and go see Jordan play.
Okay.
It could be a regular season game. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Favorite pregame meal?
Back in the day, it was always pasta. It was always pasta.
Okay. One skill not being taught in today's game.
Post play. I'm gonna say it. You know, we're not teaching guard scoring the post. We're getting very guard oriented. We're moving away from post play. So it's kind of like, hey, everyone's running guard play. So let's do what they're not. Let's go back into post play.
It's like the mid range jumper. I'm telling you, you should do what people aren't doing.
Go back mid range.
It's like everybody wants to be Giannis or LeBron.
I love Kawhi. I've been, of course, I'm a Spurs guy.
All right.
So my heart's still kind of broken, but I love Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. Yeah. What's one thing you do to relax? Oops. He froze again. One thing to relax.
You know, one thing I don't do enough anymore is listen to music. I don't listen to music enough. I'm just absorbing content from everywhere. So I would go back because I love music. So I would sit and just listen to music, just chill out.
Okay. Yeah. I walk the dogs and listen to podcasts is what I do. Cool. That's mine. I've done that for
I'd get on the motorcycle and go for a ride in the middle of the night. Humid night. I'd get on the motorcycle.
What kind of motorcycle you got?
VTX 1800.
Okay.
If we were not going to get a Harley, I wanted to get something again that.
I was just going to rip on you for not having a Harley, because that's what you should have. That's what I would have if I had a motorcycle. Yeah. I have a Harley. Yeah. But I'm also from Wisconsin, so of course you got to have a Harley. One coaching technique you consider important.
One coaching technique that I would say was important. I'd say persistence, because you're going to run into obstacles all of the time, and you have to persistently get through that and solve it. I tell you what, scratch that. Problem solving. You've got to problem solve. You're going to run into issues all of the time, and you have to get, sometimes the most clear answer is not the answer. You have to get creative sometimes. So problem solving, get creative. Don't get
that's a life lesson, man. Absolutely. Trust me. How many times I've pivoted on my business? Yeah. Holy crud. Now I'm not pivoting anymore because I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
But it's, man, if you're not willing to adjust to the times.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, if you're
was it Billy Bean and Moneyball, adapt or die?
If I was still running, I mean, seriously, when I in the early 2000s, I was running swing and flex, and it worked with the guys I had, but I couldn't run that now. That wouldn't work. It's like, so you have to be willing to adjust. Best basketball player of all time?
Jordan.
Okay, I knew that answer before I even asked it.
Yeah, I'm a 90s kid, so.
Okay. Best player you've seen in person?
Best player I've seen in person? I tell you, I'm going to say when I was at Westerville South, we had a kid named Jody McClain. We coached her, and she went to Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I would say in person, she was one of the best players I've seen.
And why?
Because she was great. She was always after the game. She would say, "Hey, how many assists did I have?" She was our leading scorer almost every single game, but always, "How many assists did I have?" And she could really, we didn't have a lot. We didn't have any other playmakers. But she can make all of the plays and make everyone better on the team.
Okay. I love that. One thing that helped you become a better coach?
Again, I think the number one thing was actually taking a head coaching job at the freshman level, the girls basketball. And I tell you, it's so funny because, I played with boys my entire life. And I come out saying, okay, my first job is going to be a boys job. And it was girls. And then it was freshman girls. And our very first game was a road game, and we won that game. And I kid you not, I remember this clear as day. The final score was 12-11. We won. And I called up Coach Branning. I said, "Hey, listen, I don't know if I can do this."
Right.
But the lessons I got from being a head coach, even at the freshman level,
it will teach you patience, and it will teach you to coach from the middle of the court. Trust
yep.
me.
Yes. It will. Yes.
Teach you to teach from the middle of the court. Best game you've seen in person?
Best game I've seen in person? I don't travel. I've never been to an NBA game, believe it or not. So I'm going to go with games that I've coached in.
Okay.
And it was my last year as a head coach. We're playing against my alma mater, and we were down, I think, 4 or 5 with 2 minutes to go. We'd cut it to 3. They'd make it 4. We'd cut it to 2. They'd make it back to 3. My best player got a layup, and we were down 2 points with, I think, 3.5 seconds to go. We did not have the ball. So we called a timeout. We set up our man press defense with the center field. And, again, 3.5 seconds, we're down 2 points. And they inbound the ball. My center field tips it. He's my point guard, not even my best shooter, but he tips it, takes one dribble, and shoots a 3 at the buzzer. and went. And it just nothing but net, and it goes in. So we were down two without the ball, get the steal, and hit the three. And
it just doesn't happen. I mean, yeah. I tell coaches, they always try to think of like an NBA. I go, the best game I ever saw was one I coached in. It's like, yeah, it's like that's, yeah. Your favorite quote.
Favorite quote? Okay. I actually wrote this one down. So let me come down here and get it. So I tell you what, since we're talking Princeton, I'll give you two. I like The Smart Take from the Strong.
Okay. I do too. That's a great little book. That's a great little book.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great book. And we're all going to be under. If your goal is to win the last game of the year, you're going to be an underdog at some point in time. And if you don't have a strategy or a way to beat that bully, beat that bigger program, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
But I think the quote that's followed me from the very beginning, and I added to this a little bit, is discipline leads to practice. Practice leads to repetition. Repetition leads to habit, and habit leads to reflex.
Say that again. I love that.
Discipline leads to practice. Practice leads to repetition. Repetition leads to habit. Habit leads to reflex.
Ooh, I love that. Okay. You can rewind that when you're listening. I like that. Sure. One word to describe your coaching style.
I would say when I was a JV baseball coach, our head coach had a saying that you have to have a relaxed intensity. So because in baseball, you can't walk the sidelines in baseball. You have to have a relaxed intensity. Something happens, you're all sitting there, boom, then you're out of the dugout. I would say very similar. I was not an in-your-face coach, but I was in your face when you needed to be.
Yeah, baseball's an interesting cookie because I coached my kid growing up playing baseball. Yeah. There's so much time to think. There's no time. When you're coaching a basketball game, I refer to it as the difference between going to a rock concert and the symphony. Yeah. Like the symphony, you can sit back and enjoy the music and kind of like, and a baseball game is very similar. There's time between pitches. There's time to think.
Yeah.
And a basketball game is so fast paced.
Yeah.
Conceptually, it's so much harder to.
I like that relaxed intensity. And again, I'm not a rah-rah coach, but I'm rah-rah when they need me to be.
Right. No, I love that.
I'm not a calm coach, but I'm calm when they need me to.
Yeah. So, best basketball coach of all time. Come on, you're a Princeton guy. He's not going to be on the list.
Yeah, I'm going to say Pete Carrill. I love.
Okay.
I'll say Pete Carrill. Yeah.
I figured he'd be.
I'm a Greg Popovich guy. I love Greg Pop.
I love Pop too. I love Pop. There's a lot. Stevens is good. I mean, there's a lot of good ones. What's one book would you recommend?
One book, we'll go Smart Take from the Strong.
I love that book. I don't have him on the cover of mine.
There's two versions of it. I last time I had this was 15, 20 years ago, and I had to get a new one. So
yeah, it's great. It's got, and the thing is, it's like easy read. It's an easy read. What's one thing you'd change about the game?
I actually kind of like how the game is changing a little bit. I think even at the pro, I would not watch pro when I was younger. After Jordan retired, I wouldn't watch as much because it was so much ISO ball. But I think once, especially with the Warriors now coming out and really moving the basketball around and playing together.
Right.
And that's why I like Princeton. I like triangle. I like the ball moving. I'm not super familiar with read and react, but I like the ball moving. I like the ball in everyone's hands. So I like that the game is becoming more of a team game than an ISO game. And I know the NBA really puts it out there, but I also like that innocent game at the high school level. You know, once you get the
college, well, and what I like about the high school level is so many differences. Like you play quarters, we play halves.
Yes.
They're totally different. Trust me.
Yeah.
I always say what I would change. I would get rid of the jump ball.
Get rid of the jump ball. What would you do?
Yep, instead? The visiting team gets it at the start. I'd still do alternating possession. Yeah. I would never throw the ball up just ever. Like it's the dumbest thing ever. I don't know why we do it anymore.
Shot clock for high school?
We do not.
You do not. I don't either.
I'm not a big advocate. I don't really care if it comes, but I think what makes high school unique is that it doesn't have it. I think we'll all become very similar to the college game. In the sense that it looks, a lot of the college games look a lot alike. I think once we get the shot clock, that will happen at the high school level too. My theory is if you want it, great. If you don't want it, great. But in my utopian world, I'd have one set of rules for everybody in the entire world. But, you know.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has all these different rules. Like, why don't we just come up with one set of rules? Yeah. This is what we're going to do. Anyway. Okay. So, Coach, let's talk about your playbook.
Yeah.
I know you're going to give a couple pages below. You sent me something. I'll put that in the show notes down below.
Yeah. So,
people can go to your site and get part of it. But go ahead and talk about that for a little bit.
Right now where we're teaching the Princeton offense to coaches, we have a course and a program and all of that stuff, which I won't get too much into. But I do have a sample of the playbook. If you go to hoopsindetail.com/Princeton offense playbook, you can download 21 pages, and it talks a little bit about philosophy and who's it for. But I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to really cool PDFs, and it's probably the cleanest, neatest playbook you could probably find on the internet.
Okay.
I don't use a software. I just do it all on my own. So it's really cool. It's really clear. It's complicated as from the outside looking in. As complicated as the Princeton offense is, I really try to break it down as simple or as simply as it possibly can be broken down. So if you go there and just put in your email, I'll email you a copy, or I'll email you a link to where you can go download 21 pages of my playbook. Right now, it's over 50 pages.
Okay.
And I just keep adding to it, but that's a good start. You don't want to get overwhelmed. So that's a good start.
Okay. That's perfect. And I'll put your contact stuff in the show notes down below.
Yeah. And on Facebook, it's Hoops in Detail. There's a group and a fan page. And we do a lot of live videos and stuff in there. So.
Okay. That'd be great. So if people want to dive in and, you know, it doesn't matter what level you're at too. I mean, I wouldn't do this at the third grade rec league level, but
I started out working with coaches. Eventually, once this quarantine gets done, part of that program is I want to get some players and team together and actually record, you know, 8 to 10 hours of video, putting the offense together so you can actually see it. Cause all I've done now, cause we've been quarantined, I've only been doing this for a few months, is doing everything on this whiteboard behind me.
Yeah.
And
I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, it's Ohio is New York is now saying if you're driving from Ohio, you got to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so
expecting Ohio.
I would start planning for next spring.
Yeah. I'm gonna go get my 4-year. I'm gonna go get his little toys, and I'm gonna put them on a board. I'm gonna take this off the wall, lay it down flat.
Do something. It'll be all good. All right, thank you, Coach. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach, for having me.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like. We love those. And send me an email, steve@teachhoops.com. Tell me what you want to hear in the future. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.